up with either a policy or if the council wants to figure out what we spent this year and just carry that over for next year's budget for travel and conferences. But when you look at the overall budget for the council, I mean, we budgeted $74,000, and right now you're at $92,000. It's not really like a big number, like, right, that we're going over, because there's not, actually, there's, when's the next conference?
There's one hour.
When?
September.
In September.
Is there another one?
But there's one here that leave that you're.
In Alcoa?
In June. So that's still this year, yeah.
They're not going? Oh, yes. Okay, they're not going to the one, I just found out.
To the one in June?
The one that I thought they were going to go this year.
Oh, so that's not happening anymore?
The Naleo?
Yeah.
No.
No, yeah.
No, there was a league one, wasn't there?
No, that's not until September.
There's one in June.
There's one in June?
In Monterey.
There's a conference coming up in, I think, in June.
In June, yeah.
And it's a three-day conference, and then the annual league is coming up in September.
Yeah, but the June is a league conference too, right?
Yeah.
So we still have two people going to that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, but overall, I mean, it's not a significant or, you know, it's just.
Well, that's something that really needs to be looked at, also, I mean.
Yeah.
Where, you know.
And that's why we bring it to the council, so the council's aware where we're at with what we budget and where we should be, you know, more realistic to what we're actually doing. So I just wanted to bring that to the council. Is there any other questions on the council's budget? And the next page is just a graph that shows you, you know, where we're at with the budget. On the legal budget, I mean, we're doing really well there. What we budgeted was, you know, the $55,000, and we're at 68%. So at, you know, three quarters of the way, that's where we should be. So we're doing really good under the legal budget. That's really helping us out overall with the budget. Any questions on legal? Under administration, which is, like the mayor said, there's, you know, we're all at City Hall, we're all kind of spread out in different funds, because we all work on in different departments, and we're four different departments. So this fund under administration is really myself. In June, there's a percentage that goes for our salaries. And then we also cover, I think, costs here for, like, when we have lunches, we have things like that, right?
Correct. That's under 571. Under travel.
Yeah, and that's also for travel for us. This year, I've only gone to one conference, which is the Lee Conference in Long Beach. And then I think June's gone to one as well. So that's kind of what we're trying to keep it to one, unless it's necessary for myself to be traveling with the mayor for some reason. But we're trying to keep it to one conference if we can for administration budget. But that's all general fund portion that we cover. Again, the health insurance stuff, the premiums, it's just very difficult to go back and try to, you know, guesstimate that one to be exact. So that's gone up as well for us. Same thing with workers' comp insurance. That's something you're going to see that's a common occurrence with all the budgets. It's higher than we had anticipated.
Right, it's going to go up 21%.
Yeah, so Phyllis has been going to the risk management. And so one of the things that we're doing with that is trying to figure out with other cities that are like size, because we get charged by employee, right?
Correct. By payroll.
By payroll. So depending on what your payroll is, that's what you get charged. And our risk management total is what, like 100 in a year?
It's 174. This year it's going to be like $249.
$249,000?
Yeah, $249,000.
And so this is the risk management is a pooled risk. So everybody puts money into this pool, from Nichols, from Bakersfield all the way to, I think, Stockton. So all the cities pool their risk. So if other cities are also, you know, getting more claims, and it causes us to also increase a little bit as well. But for us, the best thing we can do is try to keep our people safe, and so we're not getting any claims that our workers come. So that's the reason why ours has gone up as well, because we've had, you know, several claims. But Phyllis says that the way they do it is they go back 2 years. So it's not even the current status, it's from 2 years ago. and how they assess us for our cost.
And that goes also for the property, our liability. Same way, it's going to go up.
Under operating supplies, you know, that's just our paper when we do ads in the paper for announcements or we're sending flyers out. I think it also
copier,
our percentage of it.
Right, the alarms.
Alarm system. So
alarm system.
It's just all broken down by percentages for the total, like, cost of operating the business here at City Hall. Is there any questions on the? So we're still a total overall, even though some of the items are over, we're at 77%, so close to where we need to be under administration.
That's an average, Sam?
Yeah, it should be between 75 to 80%, but we should be good on the average.
Okay.
Any questions on the administration? Next is finance. So under finance, that covers salaries for, and again, this is a percentage, this is all general fund percentage. Phyllis, Rafael, Veronica, and then what used to be Gladys' position as well. And that's it for that we have under finance. And they're doing, you know, really well right now. They're at 68% overall. Even though you see some of those numbers, like I said, that are at 106%, but it's minor when you look at the overall expenditure versus what's been budgeted. You know, they're at 68%, so the finance is doing really well. And they always do really well under the general fund budget. Any questions on finance? Planning, inspection, and engineering. So this is the building department on the planning side of it, and inspection and engineering. Salaries, again, are at 85%, just because we try to budget for what we're doing. We did a lot more planning work this year, and that covers some of the costs that are associated with our city engineer, along with Ray Hope, our building official, as well.
So we're already at max, right?
100%, 101%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because they have more planning that they're doing, that means we should also be getting more revenue, because the way the planning works, it should offset each other. The way, that's the same thing with the building department. So whatever cost you should have, it should be able to offset the revenue coming in as well. Any questions on planning, inspection, engineering? Same section, you'll see there's a one that says 2,396% over, but it's because we had $50 budgeted and it's at $1,000, so it's not, you know, it just looks like a big number on the right hand on that column, but it's really only because it's, you know, the membership due for whatever reason was higher, but it's only $1,000 more. So it's not like, you know, when you see that number, it seems big, but it's, you know, it's not significant. It's immaterial for the total budget. Recreation, which is the Gabriel Jimenez, right? And for the stuff that he does for the baseball and basketball as well. And this is really for his time. Does this include also the community center?
Yes, it does. Oh, no, not community center, but it
includes. That's separate, huh?
Yeah, it includes the community activity that we have, like for the whole community, so like the 4th of July, the Thanksgiving.
So this also includes the community, the events committee budget as well under recreation. And so this one again is a little bit higher than we had budgeted, but we got more money, like under the budget amount for the community facilities or the community activities, which is the events committee. You know, we got the $18,000 that shows, reflects that there was more revenue, so it still matches up with the expense. And we'll show that, and we'll see that at the end when we show what, if we end up getting the $2.1 million, what we're going to be projecting to be expended at the end of the year, because I think overall expenditures are at 68 or 70% is what we have. I think that's the paper you showed me.
I have a question. Okay, I'm looking at the committee activities, the 151% that went over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you said that one is an offset because of the 18,000 for the donation, right?
Yeah.
And that's for, and the donation is for the what, Christmas thing?
Yeah.
So in that case, wouldn't that be, you're still losing though, because?
No, so then we gotta adjust the total budget on here. So we gotta have a budget adjustment that reflects the revenue that's coming in here too. So this hasn't been adjusted yet where it shows, so instead of 44, it would add the 18,000 onto that.
Oh. Okay.
Right, so then it would show it where it should be at 70%.
Yeah, and then the organization gave us how much, 10,000?
10,000, yeah, so 8 plus the 10, yeah, 18.
Yeah.
18, yeah.
And that was a donation that we got
from Target 8.
Yeah. Yeah. That's that one for Christmas.
Yes. Right.
And then we still got a grant for the school to put the mural.
Yes.
Right.
We're working on that right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Any other questions on recreation?
All right.
Buildings and parks, and that's all the buildings that are, you know, City Hall. Which is the senior center separate then?
Separate.
So just City Hall?
Just City Hall.
So, okay, City Hall's the only building.
The yard. The yard.
The courtyard is.
Yeah, that's
is included
it.
In this. And then all the parks that we have. So Eaton Park, Sheridan, Community Center, and then also the skate park is all included in this
all
budget.
All the parks. Yeah.
And all the parks. So, and this, you know, one of the reasons why it went a little bit higher is because of the purchases we did, you know, at the parks. And then we've done some repair work at some of the parks. And then these benches here. One-time expense again to get those repaired. So
then we bought the waxer, whatever that is for the.
Is that in the community center?
No, it's 14,000.
Yeah, 14,000 for it.
Oh, and then we bought the equipment. That's what we called. We paid for the equipment that actually cleans the floors really well at the community center and the tile. And then so we bought that one,
yeah.
And it does. It's been doing a great job, and it's making it easier for us. And everybody's happier now that is running the facility because they get a clean floor.
Yeah.
On both the gym floor and also the hallways. And so we spent $15,000 on that, $10,000 on that equipment, and then we spent, I think, $2,000 or $3,000 on a buffing machine.
Yeah, I like the way the center looks real clean. I really appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what's reflected here. You know, salary and wages, that's you know, where it's at. It should be right there, 72, 75%. Building and parks, operating supplies, this is operations, you know, they're at 99%. Actually, they're at 96% there, and that's because of the one-time purchases that we did that we didn't have budgeted under the budget year. Any questions on building and parks?
Mm-hmm.
Community center. This one is part of that salary comes from Gabriel, and then we have so the staff also that goes out and cleans it and maintains it. There's again, this goes back to that reflects the percentages that we have for each department. And the community center, because it's such a huge center, it has its own budget. And this one's always going to give us challenges until we get our PG&E cost down, because that's the big one. I think our PG&E cost is like $60,000 or $70,000 for that center. And that's where we're hopeful with the PG&E project that we do with the retrofit and then potentially solar, that brings that like way down to, you know, 10 or 15,000 or even less if we can get net zero on our electricity.
What are you projecting a solar panel installation?
The PG&E's are
would that have to go through a special grant or something?
No, well, we're the council recalls we approved to go through the study and engineering for all of our facilities, so all of our meters that we have.
Uh-huh.
So PG&E is now working on that, and they're working on the design. And they're also coordinating with, especially for like the water plant, the wastewater plant, since we have two projects going. So we're not doing redundant work. They're also being coordinated with that as well. But for like the community center, they might be solar that we do. It might be just lighting. We might do windows, so it's more energy efficient. The mechanical unit system, that's for sure going to get changed to something more energy efficient. And then adding the potential solar panels as well will be driving that down.
Yeah.
And that was a $5.2 million project that we're looking at. And it was all gonna be in a payoff. In 12 years, it'll pay itself off, but it'll be kind of like on bill. So the savings that you get in energy will pay the loan, and but we're still looking for grants to help pay for that. But if we do it all alone, it'll still pay itself off.
Yeah.
And in 12 years, all that will be just savings for the city. So it's really more of a long-term investment for the city to have savings,
because
that's going to be huge. I mean, our total PG&E bill is, what, a year, Phyllis? Like $1 million, maybe?
Yeah, $1 million.
I think it'd be good to ask consultants to look at every aspect of funding.
Yeah.
You never know when there's money, you know?
And there will be.
Yeah, because when I attended the league meeting here in Salma, I was shocked to hear that the amount of money is available to bring the services closer to the community. You know, like put facilities closer to like parks and recreation. You can apply for grants to do that. Yeah.
Now on the solar, are we gonna own the solar
system?
Yeah, we're
gonna own it.
Okay. It's not like
rental, it's not gonna be leased.
Like a lease like they do other places.
It'll be owned by us. It'll just be, we'll be paying for it. And then, like I said, after 12 years, when we actually see the full benefit. So you imagine in 12 years, we'll have zero bill, potentially, and you're saving $1 million throughout the whole city in expenses for PG&E. I mean, that's what the goal is, to be down to net zero or close to it. One of the things that we learned, actually, through Phyllis's help on with AT&T is that we actually have fiber optic in the city for cable, for internet.
Yeah.
And that's something that, you know, so we're gonna actually change our stuff from and save money in phone systems and internet going through fiber and doing some other things with AT&T, because our phone bills and stuff are high. And so we're looking at different ways on how to minimize all that, but also the speed. One of the good things out of that meeting that Phyllis had was that now we can offer that to businesses because it's available in Orange Cove. We knew that the fiber was laid in, the infrastructure was laid in, but we didn't know that it was connected already. So it's now in service, and fiber for businesses that are doing online, you know, streaming and things like that, that's huge. Because we get once a month we'll get a request from the state of a business looking for this, but they want fiber, they want this much gas available, this much power available to them, and then of course for sewer water capacity, you know, that they're gonna give you this much wastewater and they need this much water. So that's the infrastructure that they need, and so now we have it all,
okay.
You know. So that's a plus. Any questions on the community center? And again, the community center, we did one-time repairs that we did, and then also upgrades that we did at the community center to match the funding that we had under the successor agency installment money that we had. And so that was one-time expenses that we didn't have budgeted in here, but it got done, and the community center looks, you know, is looking really good as well. Senior center, they do pretty well. Even with their personnel, they're at 71%. And so we have one part-time person and then another, I don't know if you would call her part-time, Phyllis. She's like part-time.
Part-time, yeah. She only works like 5 hours.
And then we have an ARP person. But this next year, his contract is up. So we'll probably end up bringing him in to help to be part-time, unless it gets extended again. Because he's been really helpful there at the community center. Lawrence, and the seniors really, really love him over there, so.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
So, but the seniors are doing pretty well, except for operating supplies. And
what program is he under?
ARP, but it switched to something different.
If we could pick him up with Sarah.
We did talk about that.
Pick him up with Sarah. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, we'll get him. I'd ask them to come in and talk to Veronica and see if we can get him plugged in with Sarah.
Yeah, I could call Sarah.
Because I think it's September is when his thing is up.
Right.
Let me know and I'll call over there to Sarah. Yeah.
And then under this, it's just the... Let's see, what's the high... The building maintenance cost has gone up on that. But it shows 198%, but I mean, you know, we went from $400 maintenance to 790, so it's not significant, it's not material.
And too, on operating supplies too, we had to purchase some of the stuff that the agency requested. Like during the summer, they have a salad bar, so they had to purchase this equipment, yeah, to, for the salads to put under there.
And the seniors?
Yes.
And next year, they want a TV.
Good.
So.
Maybe I get, maybe I get one donated to them.
So if we get the cable, I think we're gonna try to see if we can get cable through, because part of our franchise agreements, we have a, is with Charter Cable. So we're gonna be checking with them to see if, normally what they do is provide free cable services to all the city agents. And so if we can get cable to them there, yeah, that's part of the franchise, like that's just what they normally do. Put cable there for the seniors and then bring a, you know, buy them like a $300 TV at home or something. Just so they can watch it, or whatever it is and what they want. Animal control. This is part salary for the guys that are out there picking up the dogs. Then salary and wages, and again, that's the things that are up are the health insurance and dental. Cost from what we normally budget, because we only budget a small percentage, which is the 2 hours, but we're not changing it for the council's request to do patrols 4 hours per day in the morning. And then we also go back when we get called out. So we're gonna have to adjust that, you know, this next quarter for April, May, and June.
So they're gonna do 4 hours patrolling now?
Yeah, well, and I think it'll just be based on whatever the need is. Because I know Alfred was telling me this morning that last night, we got called out at Orchard Village, or maybe it was over the weekend, and there was, he went and drove over there, and there was a, you know, a pit bull, and they tried to get it because it was in heat. So there was a couple other dogs chasing it, so I think they picked it up today.
Good.
And then under this, professional services, the $30,000 is what goes, gets paid to the Focus animal care people at the shelter. So that's just, that's a fixed cost that we have. Any other questions on animal control? Police department. Under salaries and wages, we are at 80%, 95%. Is that correct?
No, 73%.
73%. I'm looking at the whole thing. That's okay. So at salaries and wages, we're at 73%, which is where we want to be. Even though, if you notice, you know, the line item under overtime is over, and that's something I'll have the chief come up and speak to here in a little bit about the process. And one of the things that we're going to be doing for the chief's request, he's asked Phyllis to create separate accounts for the different types of overtime. So it's not just all categorized under the same thing, so that we have a better understanding of what's happening and how, and if there's a challenge with a certain type of overtime, that we can address it. Because there's overtime that's created for shift coverage, for court, and then of course, overtime for when they're out patrolling, they have to stay with the case and do that kind of overtime.
Or holiday or sick, I mean, vacation or sick leave.
Yeah, or vacation or coverage for vacation and sick leave as well. So those are the types of overtime. The chief wants to have that broken down so he has a better idea and a better handle of what's the percentage of each one. And so that's something Phyllis is going to be working on with the chief to put that together. So he, every paycheck or even every month, he can, you know, address those overtime issues and figure out how to mitigate those.
Now, am I going to put that in the budget too, like this, you know, line item?
We could.
For the PD?
We could. I think we could.
All right. As an example, just looking at this last pay period, the police department had 39 hours of overtime, of which 29 and a half hours were for due to people going to court, the court standby, or covering for somebody that went to court, we have enough people in the shift or whatever. So what I'm saying is, it seems like, you know, 29 and a half hours were done, were due to court, 3.5 hours for canine care, they couldn't feed the dog and stuff, which by law you have to give them time to do that.
Yeah.
And then 4 hours for range, they have to, and we don't go to the range very often, you know, we only go once or twice a year. And then 2 hours were
taking care of evidence and writing a report for last day type stuff. Look at it, we're really not using overtime. They're always talking to me about overtime. Sam's on my butt on a regular basis, and every time I talk to Josie and the mayor there, they're talking about cutting overtime. But, you know, the overtime that we're doing is necessary time that we can't cut because it's tough. It's hours that where people are going to court. And if somebody goes to court, if somebody going to, they work nights and now they got to go to court at daytime, so they're getting paid overtime for that, or the court calls up and says, put them on standby, because I may need them this morning, and a lot of times they have them on standby at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then at noon they say, call up and say, you know what, we're not going to need them after all, but still they're on standby, so.
And they got to be there when they're standby at the court?
Well, they'll say, we want you on standby, and we'll give you an hour to be in court or whatever. So, I mean, what I'm saying is that those kind of things I can't control. Somebody takes vacation, I got to have somebody to cover that shift. And that's the issue right now, for example, of our 10, of the 10 people who got the department, four of them are already over 200 hours by the policy for the city is that they're supposed to be kept under 200 hours. Four of them are already over 200 hours. And in fact, I sent them a email last week. I said, plan on taking overtime. Plan on taking vacation before school starts again, because we'll have two SROs that are off for the summer, and they can cover those shifts without having to pay somebody overtime while they're on vacation. So I send those emails out, and I'm forcing them to take some vacation time, which we need to get them down, because if they don't take vacation time, they get sick also, and then we don't need. Then we got covered for the sick coverage and that.
Yeah, so the summertime, for the 2.5 months, or whatever it is, the SROs, we're able to use them out here in the field, and they're already being paid for. So we utilize them for then, because the SROs can take vacation. When the school goes on vacation, they can take time off as well. So when they go, like, spring break, Christmas, and summer, we utilize them out here, or they can go on vacation if they want to, so they can utilize their vacation. So the summertime is where we really want to have our guys take time off. You know, take 2 weeks off, because we have a guy that can cover the shifts, or two people that can cover that shift, and not worry about it. So that's what the chief's trying to do now, is trying to force that, because we do have four people. Yeah. He's telling me, I don't want you taking a week, take 2 weeks off, and we'll cover your shift with this one person, SSRO, during the summertime. So.
Well, that's good, because, the officers that have children, they can take vacation and be off with the kids,
Yeah.
So that does work out really well.
I have officers come and say, hey, I want to sell some hours, and I say, you know what, take the vacation. I'm not going to just sell, I'll let you sell hours, or say you're going to pay for vacation hours.
And they should take their vacation,
Yeah.
They should, that's no good to work around the clock.
Yeah, I was telling Sam, basically, if they've been here more than 3 or 4 years, I'm going to make it mandatory. They've got to take 2 weeks vacation. They've got to take 2 weeks vacation. That won't put us in a bind as long as we put out a schedule and say these guys better be on these 2 weeks or whatever. I know the sheriff department, it depends on how many years you had. The first year you didn't have to take any vacation. The second, third year you had to take 1 week. And then after that you had to take 2 weeks. And if you were there like 7 years, you had to take like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And just...
Good.
And the other thing is, the chief's constantly trying to now we need to add two more reserve officers to get our five. Uh-huh. So the reserve officers are the ones that kind of come in and fill in at a cheaper rate for when people do call in sick.
How much do you pay on reserve?
$15 an hour.
$15 an hour. $15. We pay $10 while they're going through training and $15 once they're off training.
Once they complete their FTO training. So they look and walk like a regular officer. So you
they have to be certified post?
Yeah, they have to go to the academy. Yeah. Once they go to the academy, then we'll hire them and put them to train. But like I said, it costs us, by the time we buy uniforms, equipment with leather gear, guns and everything,
and
the time it takes to train them, it costs us $10,000.
Yeah.
to train one person. It takes us, to train a person takes us about 6 months. And in 6 months, he's used the 1,000 hours that that he can work without being put on PERS. Okay. So then we have to put him on PERS. We've got two that are working full-time, and they've got, they don't get vacation, but they're getting $15 an hour, and they get the 3.5 hours mandatory by state sick time. But they don't, they only get $15 an hour. I mean, for example, really, Terry trains them, they're paying $15 an hour, and they put them on regular officer salary at 24, yeah, at $24 an hour, but we keep them at 15. Yeah. We've got two there, we've got two like that. We've got Jaime Gonzalez, who's been with us for years, and he just comes a couple of days a month. If I need him for something and he's not working, he'll come in and work three, 4 hours to transport somebody. This, you know, the Asian kid that we hired, he's about 2/3 of the way through the training program right now. Now, when he finishes it, when he finishes training, we're just going to use him to call him in for when we want shift coverage. He's not going to stay with him, working full time. But we need to get a couple more guys
to do that, the coverage of the ship coverages.
Yeah. The young man that was sworn in here, how's he doing?
He's doing okay. You know, he's got, he's Asian, so a lot of times, they're a little bit not as strong as we like them. They're not, you know, they don't have a real forceful
personality.
They're more laid back, more quiet. Radio, he's had some radio issue problems. But he's getting better on the radio, and he's learning.
That's good. It takes time. Very good.
Yeah, so he's constantly trying to recruit for reserves just to fill in two more spots that we have, because that's kind of what we try to budget for. Yeah. And that's just to save us on OT and then have those ship coverages when we need them.
But it's hard to recruit because, you know, for example, right now the police academy's got about 45 people going through it, and about 40 of them already, they haven't even finished academy, and Fred Lopedi and the Sheriff's Department already signed him up and given conditional job offers for a lot of money. Yeah. And then the ones, a lot of them, even though they graduated from the police academy, they can't pass the background. I had an applicant that applied this week, and basically he wants to talk to me. He was terminated from the Sheriff's Department, and then he went to Coalinga, and he just got terminated over there. And now he wants to come here, and that's, those are the kind of people that we get a lot of applicants.
The red flags.
Yeah, but why would you want to hire something like that?
Well, we don't, but that, like I say, we don't. The small departments don't get a lot of good selection. We get an occasional one. You know, Diana sent her son over to Dinuba instead of bringing him here.
Yeah. Don't want him here, no.
He's in Dinuba.
He's in Dinuba.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Yeah.
You're happy.
Yeah,
I know he's doing good too in far there. Yeah, we hate to lose him, but he went to that unit.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, again, on the police, the same thing. We have a lot of increased cost in the health division. It's the same thing that we, you know, didn't have the right numbers for because of the increase in the health insurance premiums. And then operating supplies, just maintenance and operations. What was the big thing that changed in here, Phyllis? If you can see, equipment maintenance.
Communications.
No communications, no.
Professional services. I don't know where the professional services, we went from 7,000, where they budgeted 7 and got, and they spent 11,944.
Which is that one?
I wonder if that's part of the IT 50, then.
5,500.
And then we bought this year, we budget
50,000, right?
Yes.
Pardon me?
We budget 50,000.
Professional services, 7,000.
But the other cost in here is that we bought a new server.
Okay. Yeah, that's part of it.
This year. That's a big expense that we had for PD was a new server that we bought. What else did we buy this year?
A vehicle lease we hadn't.
Yeah, we had a vehicle lease that we didn't have a budget. And we're still getting assistance from the police protection district. So, I mean, overall, I don't think you have it here, Rafa, or Phyllis, the one, the sheet you gave me.
Oh, no. No.
How about the COPS program? Is it still being funded?
COPS program is still being funded. However, what's happening is they're
that was
not...
A, that was at the COP Fest, Mayor, the first phase of the revenue. We do get $105,000 every year.
$80,000?
But what's happening with the COPS program is they're doing a lot of stuff that you have to be part of a group. For example, with the Sheriff's Department of the state, they're going for SROs, for school resource officers. That's one thing that they still fund pretty good. And the other thing that they're funding for is gun violence. Mm-hmm. And so basically, you know, we do have shootings here, but compared to Fresno PD,
yeah,
we're nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so we compete. They give some of the funds, they take a percentage to small cities under 25,000. But, I mean, they'll give Fresno PD 40 officers.
Yeah.
But to the small cities, we're competing for and trying to get one. They'll give us one for 10 bodies. If we've got a 10-person department, they'll give us one if we can get it. And we're competing with all the small cities. And,
yeah.
And like I said, compared to the other small cities, we're...
Uh-huh.
Crime-wise, we're doing real well, so it's hard to compete.
Yeah.
It's hard to compete. I know that the city manager and police chief from Mendota went to Washington, D.C. about a month ago, and they talked to the cops people. They talked, in fact, the council took them around. They talked to the cops people. They talked to Senator Feinstein. They talked to about 8 different entities there in D.C. about We've got to get to where some of this funding comes to more money comes to small cities as opposed to just sending to the big cities, because it goes to, we're talking the whole United States, and you know, Detroit, you know, and Chicago, you know what kind of killings they've got in Chicago. They kill you know, 3-4 people a day there. So there, those big cities are getting all kinds of funding, but the small cities aren't. And they went to D.C. to try to talk about that.
What's the outcome of that trip to Washington?
They're hopeful that the letter that they gave you today, they wanted you to look at it and see if you'll agree to sign it. And then they're going to bring, if I tell them yes, they're going to bring the original, and they've got the small cities signing it. I think you saw it on the letter.
So the consultants are keeping you up to date on that?
Yes.
On that kind of funding?
Yeah.
That's good. That's very good.
I think part of it's part of that SB 453, which is also the jail, the police department funding.
Yeah.
I know she asked me she's been asking me questions about what we need for the new police department building and what we currently had. And I went in detail about how, what our needs were. And I think they're going to go before the Senate yesterday, I think, and go before the Assembly in May, I think May the 6th or May the 8th. And she's asking me if I could.
It's amazing that Senator Canela voted for the increase in transportation funding, but he ended up getting multi-million-dollar grants. You know, we need to get more political with our representatives. You know, I'm still wondering, whatever happened to our new police department? Is it going through the process? Where are we at?
It is. I actually just, last week I gave Sharon a budget of cost for building a new center, new police department, because she needed that so she can get it over to Andy Videk's office, Senator Videk's office, so they can work through the process. And they're asking all the other 3 cities for the same thing. And so it's going through legislation right now, through the process. I forget when the hearing is.
They had a hearing yesterday, and then the next one, I think, is May the 6th. Monday the 6th of May, or is it the 8th of May? It's on Monday.
It's 8th.
In fact, she...
The Senate?
That's going to be in front of the Assembly.
In front of the Assembly? Okay.
So I think that's the one that that you and I should go to that, just so we can at least plea our case.
Yeah.
And see if Mayor Beltran and then also Mayor Rudy from Woodlake are going to attend, so that we can go together as a group and just plead the case for the need.
Is Arambula on board on that?
I don't. Well, we had talked to him originally about it, but Senator Videk's going to carry the ball for us.
Yeah.
Because we talked to both members. If you recall, we talked to Arambula, because of El Canela. He did that for the other four communities in his district.
Okay. All right. Good.
So overall, I think with the projections that we have, if we get the $2.2 million in revenue, we're at like 68 to 70% of our budget, and which is where we need to be, between 70 and 75% of our overall budget. So in general fund, we're doing okay. Even though you saw some numbers that were off kilter, overall we're still going to be between 70-72%, and that's where we need to be for up to March.
I did want to say that the chief hurt my feeling. He said that I'm always complaining about his overtime. I don't remember ever talking to you about overtime.
No, you and.
I think the sister was bugging you. She bugs me.
I didn't see you complain. I said, bring it to my attention.
I have a question before we wrap this thing up. I was looking at the police department on the gas and all that. Where does Northgate Police Department get the gas from?
We get it at either Citrus or at
Liquor Store.
On 4th Street. At first, when we first talked to the 4th Street, and the only reason why it's only those two is because one of them had a violation that we gave them for
selling
alcohol to a minor. And the other one doesn't own the gas station, it's owned by somebody else, which is a Texaco. It's owned by Rose Oil out of Reedley. And Orange Cove Liquor on 4th Street originally didn't want to. They didn't want the cops to be there.
They didn't want the police.
Well, that's exactly what their thought process was. And so he didn't want the police to be there. And so finally we worked through the process with him, and now he's favorable. And then also, we couldn't get him to at first where we can bill him. He can bill us monthly.
Yeah.
Because that's how we pay. We pay on a monthly basis. Yeah. So, and then I think Phyllis is the one that worked with him on that. And so he said, okay, so he bills us monthly now, and it works. And
it works
out
good.
For him.
We discussed that, me and the manager, about fairness to our community, and he agreed with me, you know. A lot of them, some of them don't want to go on and get credit for a whole month.
We have four gas stations in the town, right? Orange Cove, Orange Cove Liquor, OC Mini Mart, the Texaco, and then the T&J. T&J had a violation, and now it's under new ownership.
They have new ownership, right?
New ownership, so we haven't gone back and talked to them yet, but I'm sure they'll be wanting to. Then the Texaco, because it's not, they don't own the gas there. It's Rose Oil that owns it, the gas station itself, and not the convenience store, it's separate.
We have excellent business community, you know, they're very supportive of, you know, always asking what can we do for the community.
And we do the same thing for maintenance of vehicles, where we have them, so it's not just like Tractor Chopper, you know, we try to have it so like three vehicles, these three vehicles always go here. And same thing, the chief does the same thing. We have one tire shop in town, so that's where we go. And actually, they gave us a better deal than what we used to get. They gave us the government deal. Mm-hmm. So instead of paying $250 per tire, we get paid $100.
We pay basically the cost, the government cost. So we get
But they're the ones that told us about it, you know. Because I think Hoser's, he told me, Sam, I'm going to pay $250. You got to just fill out this form. So the chief went over there and just filled out whatever they need to do, and now we get the government, the GSA pricing.
Uh-huh. That's good.
So it's like half, or I think even way far less than that.
It's really good prices.
It's good.
Because those tires are like specialty tires, and we used to pay like $250 or more, I think, per tire. So that's kind of where we're at with the general fund. We'll bring it back at the next, president of the workshop next week with all the other revenues, which is all the enterprise funds. And then I think at that time too, Mayor, we'll also break down, put in a projector to give you a copy of the breakdown by percentages.
Yeah, I think that I was shocked when the city council had a big old deficit, you know, and that's something that I would wish that it never happens to us, that, you know, that they blame us for that. And I'd rather have you tell me, hey, you know, you're in trouble, man. You know, I'd rather have that than to find out later. We can't do nothing about it.
I think the council, over the last 4 years, we've been really cutting down and getting to the point where we're now, where it's manageable. It's really, really manageable. I mean, if you're going to be a deficit of 50 versus $700,000 or $800,000, I mean, that's a huge difference, you know, that you can manage.
Yeah. That way I can cut the shoe 20%.
Yeah.
He's been trying to figure
it out. That's what I said earlier. He's like, what's going on with the
bag? Here for
you. He said, I'm going to try and get rid of me. He goes, keep saying
okay,
that.
Okay.
My pen is ready, and my pen is ready.
Okay, any further business?
No, that's just the information.
Being none, meeting adjourned. Thank you very much.
Amen.
And thank you to Phyllis and Rama for working with us.
Thank you so much.